Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier, happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hey, busy mamas, it's Mia here, and I am super excited for this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. Today, I have a really fun guest. Well, yes, she's going to be fun, I know, but it's on a topic that we don't all think about as fun. Her name is Lauren, and Lauren is a wife, a mom of four, and a recovering spender. Can you guess what the topic is? With her husband, she figured out how to get out of $40,000 of debt. And now Lauren strives to bring others into her circle to mentor and teach that when it comes to managing your finances, you can do this. And I met Lauren last year in New Orleans, and we were on this walk while she was searching for a thrift store to go. I guess that's, well, you can tell us all about that part of your business in a minute. But we started talking about gluten-free and money and food, and I just knew someday I had to have her here. So here we are. So welcome, Lauren.
Thank you. Thank you for that nice introduction. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, we're excited to have you. So tell us a little bit about your story. You have a lot of kids. You have a lot of kids.
I have a lot of kids, one more than me,
and I'm saying you have a lot. But anyway.
Yeah. No,
so tell us about your kids and where you're at and all that kind of good stuff, just so we can know you a little better.
Yeah, so I've been married to my husband, Mark. It'll be actually 14 years in just a few day, like in 2 weeks, we'll be married 14 years. And we have four children. We have a son who will be 11 next month. We have a daughter who just turned 7, another daughter who is 5, and then another daughter who will be 3 in August.
So you've got nothing going on at all.
No, nothing. Yeah. So I live in upstate New York. If people are familiar with Syracuse, New York, I live right outside of Syracuse, New York. And me and my husband work full time on our website, and he quit his job 2.5 years ago to come home and work full time with me. And we're, you know, money coaches. We teach people how to get out of debt, how to budget, and it all came from my personal experience, like you said, as a recovering spender. And I'm really excited to talk about what I'm passionate about from personal experience. But so that's a little bit of my background, I guess you could say.
Cool. I love that. So it's funny. I had like sort of not shallow questions, but easier questions for the beginning. But when you say that about spending, I feel very much like a kinship with you, because mm-hmm. when I met you, you were off to go spend money on buying clothes, but then you'd figured out how to make them into a business.
Right.
And it's interesting to me because with food, a lot of times people ask if I feel deprived that I don't have sugar or whatever, gluten. And the thing is I don't, because I make a lot, like I surround myself by food, and I'm like always either making it for my business or I'm making it so that it like serves me. Like I still have a lot of chocolate and whatnot. It's just not, you know, crazily filled with sugar.
Right.
So it's funny that like we can still do those things that we are so passionate about, but mm-hmm. in a better way. So that's super interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's definitely, I think, you know, as far as food goes, you know, me and you also, I eat gluten free, I eat sugar free. And so when we put together, one of the things that we do on our website is, we put together meal plans for people, and you can buy them, and it's 20 meals for $150 at Aldi. Mm-hmm. We like Aldi a lot. And so we focus on Aldi, and, Most of them are gluten-free and sugar-free.
Correct?
Yeah, it's a supermarket.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in 30-plus states around the country. They're like the largest growing supermarket chain. They have a ton of gluten-free, sugar-free. All of their store products none of them contain, you know, artificial food dyes, synthetic, you know, hydrogenated oils, all that kind of stuff. So we love shopping there. So we have a kinship as well with that.
God, I love that. And I think that's mm-hmm. why I kept walking with you to get your cab to go to the thing. I love mm-hmm. talking food. So tell us about meal planning. So tell us a little bit about the relationship between meal planning and money, and how, like, what that looks like, and how not, you know, how that plays out versus not meal planning in terms of budgeting for food.
Right. So let me go back to 9 years ago, because this is where my journey with saving money on groceries and meal planning started. We were in $40,000 worth of debt. We were running a $1,000 deficit every month, so we didn't have enough money to pay our bills. And we had to get, like, really serious with what was going on. I was a spender, so I had gotten us into all this debt, and I just knew that I had to change the way that we were living. And we sat down, and we weren't, I wasn't like a frivolous spender where I would go and spend like $1,000 on clothes or whatever, but I did spend money that we didn't have all the time. And I also really was, I felt like we just had no idea what was going on with our money. We never checked our bank account balances. We would just hope and pray that the debit card worked, you know, every given day. And we didn't have a budget. And so when we sat down and realized that, okay, I had this moment where I finally, like, came clean to Mark about our spending. And I told him how much debt I had gotten us into. And that's when we got on the same page and we really sat down and started, like, learning how to budget, learning how to live with intention. And one of the biggest things that we found out is that we were spending, the first time we did our budget, we spent $1,000 at the grocery store and about $700 eating out in 1 month. Mm.
And so in order to come to what your budget was, first you were tracking, like, what you just did by default. Is that okay?
Yep. This is us just figuring out what we had spent in the past month, because we didn't know how much we were spending. So we just kind of went through our bank account balances and found out, you know, we're spending almost $1,700 a month on food. And there was me and him and our son. So there's only three of us. Mm-hmm. And we would go grocery shopping without a plan, buy stuff, things would spoil. So then we'd have to go out to dinner and we were running around like crazy without a plan. Oh, you know, you get to the 5 o'clock, what am I going to make for dinner thing, right? Yeah. Like the dinner stress. And instead of cooking, we would go out to eat because we were just too lazy. And, you know, all I had was like frozen chicken. And like, what are you going to make with that at 5:30 to get on the table at 6? And so that's how it all started. And so at that time I was working as a waitress and I really wanted to quit my job to come home with my son. I felt really passionate that I wanted to stay home with him when he was little. And so we figured out that if I, you know, look at my food budget, if we could cut that food budget from around like $1,700 a month or just completely cut out eating out and then take that $1,000 we were spending at the grocery store and cut it down to $200 a month, that I could quit my job and we could make me being a stay-at-home mom work at that time. So I went from like $1,700 a month to $200. So you can imagine the shock, like, of me, like, trying to figure out how in the world am I going to feed us for this amount of money. And so that's kind of how my journey started. And I started learning how to coupon a lot, and meal plan, you know, shop around the sale items, freeze things, and just get really creative with the food that we had, because I wanted to pay down debt. I wanted to be debt free. And I knew that in order for me to do that, I had to really focus on our food bill. And, you know, in the past years now that I've been teaching people, we've been out of debt for 7 years, and I've been teaching people how to do this for 6 years. And when I'm going through people's budgets and helping them figure out their budgets, the number one item is usually their mortgage, and their number two is food. And so there's such a strong link between food and money issues. And so that's why, you know, I think this is a good topic to talk about. Food links to everything and money links to everything. And so it's just, so that's like my background and how I see them linked together.
Yeah. Well, and they both are those things that I feel like can get so out of, like, I feel like they both can have simple things done every day can help get them in order, like much simpler than I think we know. And that can have such a big impact. But when it gets out, both can so easily get out of control. And then over time, you know, they lead to whatever, you know, debt or disease or, you know, fat or whatever, you know.
Yep.
It's very interesting. And full disclosure, like, I could use your money help. got the food tackled, but not the money yep. part always.
Well, then you can get my book.
Yeah, I can. Yes.
Yep.
So let's go to planning a little. So if you have an amount that you want to try to aim for, like how did you go about figuring that out? Like it sounds like you can't really say, okay, that equals $50 a week, because it's probably more economical to figure out like when stuff goes on sale and really being smart about freezing and making food in advance, and that it's like a little bit more complicated than just saying I have $50 a week or yeah. whatever the amount happens to be.
Yeah. You know what I did is I kind of did, I call it my third food budget system, where I would spend a third of that money on like fresh fruits and vegetables, a third of it on, or fresh vegetables and meat, you know, fruit, veggies, meat. And then a third of it would be on like snack food, cereal, like kind of the things on the inside of the grocery store aisle. And then a third of it would be on items that were on sale that I would stock up on. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I tried to break it apart, that every week, you know, regardless of what was on sale, I had a third of my grocery budget, you know, around $12 to buy things that I got for free or really, really cheap. And then that would keep my grocery budget low for the rest of the month to have those things on hand. So we might not eat them that month, but we would stock up on them and save them. And then I would spend, you know, with the stuff that I had in my pantry from doing that the previous weeks, I would have a surplus of, you know, like things like rice and all those staples that I could really get for free a lot of times. Those would be in my pantry. So then when I went to go plan my meal plan, I would use the free or cheap items that I already had on hand as part of my meal plan and just buy the essentials like, you know, milk and eggs and fruits and vegetables, all the fresh stuff, and then still have a little bit of money to play with to stock up on those items for the next month. So that's kind of how I used it. And it was tight. I mean, there were many, many nights where we, you know, had cereal for dinner, or we had homemade pancakes. You know, I would try and come up with, we would do Brinner, which, you know, breakfast for dinner, we call it Brinner. We would do that a lot of times just to keep the budget really low. So we did that solely because we needed to, because that's all the money that we had to spend on food. And we could have spent more. We really could have, but then we would have stayed in debt for longer. And so we had to look at the trade-off of like, okay, are we willing to like not eat out at all? And are we willing to, you know, set aside money, you know, a smaller amount of money for groceries? And I would do like crazy things like, watch videos on my computer from Swagbucks and earn points from Swagbucks. Mm. And then I would take those points and I would trade them in for grocery gift cards. And so I would get creative with ways to make extra money to add to the grocery budget so I could stock up on more things.
Okay. Got it. Cause I was about to say like, tell us about free rice.
Yeah.
Cause I don't think people realize that food can come for free.
Yep.
But that's cool. That's an awesome way to think outside of the box. I love it.
Yep.
And the veggie lover in me has to say that I believe, like my guess is, and that I totally would have bought a box of cereal at some point for sure instead, is that like romaine lettuce costs the same as a box of cereal.
Mm-hmm.
And one might, you know, so we could have a big salad for dinner. And it's interesting because so many of the times we think that that's somehow depriving us, but mm-hmm. I feel like there's so many things we could have which actually would make us healthier, because we don't have to be uber full at every second.
Yeah. Like, and that's, you know, that's very true. And I was learning how to eat us, you know, feed us healthy on a budget too. You know, we ate a lot of fruits and vegetables, and, you know, I would get coupons for like, you know, get free carrot sticks if you spend $10 at this grocery store. So I would go to that grocery store and spend the $10 and get a ton of stuff with coupons just to get the free carrots and still, you know, it almost became my job. You know, I was probably doing 10 hours a week to plan this, at such a low budget, but it was something that I was really passionate about, that we needed to get out of debt.
Well, and you could do that with your son probably, right? So it was like a whole different kind of job. So that's amazing.
Yep. He came with me, and, I remember this one time, and this is a story I talk about, in my book, I remember this one time I had, it was like a triple coupon sale. And I don't know if you're familiar with Harris Teeter, the grocery store Harris Teeter.
No.
Okay, so that's a grocery store. I lived in South Carolina at the time. And so they had these triple coupon sales, and I would spend like 15 hours like preparing for these trips because they would only happen once every few months because I knew that I could get like $400 worth of food for like 40 bucks. And I would spend all of this time planning this, you know, shopping trip. And I had just had my second child. So she was 6 weeks. She was like in my carrier, you know, on the front of my body sleeping. And I had Andrew with me, who was just four. And we went and we spent like an hour and a half in the store, like getting everything that I needed. And I had like so many different transactions. And we used cash for our groceries so that we wouldn't go over budget. So I would take the money out in cash every week and I would have $50. That was it. Well, I forgot my cash at the at home. And so we spent this like hour and a half shopping. She rang up all of my stuff. I gave her all of my coupons only to realize that I didn't have any money. And I remember like having to tell her, oh, I'm sorry, but I will be home. I have to go drive home and get my money and I'll be back. So they set it aside for me, like had to take the coupons out of the register, set it aside for me. And I remember dragging my son out of the store and he was screaming at the top of his lungs. Why don't we have money for food? And he was just screaming, like everybody was staring at me. And I just remember I should have been really defeated, but I remember just being like, we're going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to come back and I'm going to buy this food. And that's what I did. But that is a memory in my head of what it took to sacrifices that I made and that we made to be able to stick to that kind of budget.
I love that. Okay. That's just awesome. So let's fast forward to now.
Okay.
So now you have four kids,
right?
And a business. You're out of debt. Like you have a great business. You're so good that you freed your husband from his job.
Right.
Which I know is many, many people's goals. So what does your food budget look like now? Like what parts of that still play into your thought process today?
Yeah. So I don't coupon anymore. I do a little bit on the side, but when my business started taking off online, I had to make a choice that I could either coupon myself or I could teach other people how to save money and get out of debt. And so we had to weigh that because I just didn't have time to do both.
Yeah.
And so I coupon a little bit, but not a ton, but I do meal plan still. We still focus on meal planning quite a bit. We do a lot of freezer cooking because we are both working full time out of the house now. And so our budget typically is between 125 and 150 a week for all six of us.
Wow.
And that includes gluten-free and sugar-free. And so we still keep it pretty low. If we do eat out, it's like a separate budget line for us. Like, okay, we know we're going out to dinner for somebody's birthday. We're going to set aside $75 for that. And it goes into like a separate fund.
Got it.
So, but for groceries, we're around 125, 150. We do a lot, like I said, we do a lot of freezer cooking. So, you know, once a month we'll sit down and make 20 freezer meals and have them in our freezer. Once a year we buy a half a cow from a local farm, organic grass fed cow. And so we have a freezer full of meat all year.
Yep.
And so one of the things that I just kind of talk about with my business is how freeing up your food budget can free up so much more money to pay down debt. And so we really focus on that. So one of the things that we do on the website is, like I said earlier in the podcast, that we do these freezer cooking plans for people. And they can make 20 meals for $150. So we do those ourselves. Like that's how we eat. So, so, you know, we usually spend like $150 on the freezer meals and then I'll go and spend another 75 or something like that during the week to buy lunch stuff and breakfast stuff and fresh produce and all of that.
So, and the freezer meals are that you're going out and you're buying all the ingredients and then you're spending a day or something making these meals and then freezing them so that you can pull them out rather than go buy the frozen food from the frozen food aisle. Is that correct?
Right, but we don't spend a whole day. We actually have this system. My husband actually is the one who came up with it. And you put them together in under 3 hours.
Cool.
So you spend 3 hours, make your meals for like the whole month, and then and you just stick them. We stick them in the crock pot before we leave for work in the morning, and Yeah, and it's actually, we ran out of freezer meals and it's killing us. Like, I feel like, oh my gosh, like last night, I don't even remember what we had for dinner last night. I think we had like sandwiches or something because we just didn't have any, like all of our meat was defrosted or was frozen. So we didn't think ahead. And it just kills me. Like, it's so easy to eat out and eat unhealthy when you're not planned. Yes, it's just so easy.
It's fun. A few episodes ago, we interviewed someone named Rachel Sherwood, who's a chef. And she was explaining her freezer, and oh my God, it is so organized. And she has like a whiteboard next to it. Like, it was inspirational to hear how organized her freezer situation is and like how she does it. Yeah. So for anyone listening, you can go back and listen to that, because it was a way to like actually use everything that's in your freezer, which is my problem actually. So like, I'll do all that and then I'll forget.
Yeah,
that
that's
I have
awesome.
It and like, you know, always go make something. So in budgeting, like there's the obvious stuff. Like we might all go figure out. I'm definitely inspired to go figure out how much I should be spending on food, and I'm sure I'm overspending. So I'm actually gonna make that a goal of today. Is going and doing that. But what about like the more abstract costs that are associated with eating healthy? So like, for example, the first year that I eliminated sugar, my dentist noticed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I feel like I automatically saved, like I always had a cavity a year, and now I haven't had one in 7 years. Mm-hmm. So like, what about those other costs and like healthcare and things that really do change when we eat well? Like, how do you even intellectually think of those? Because I imagine that for some people, like to get off of processed food, I'm wondering if it always, maybe it always costs less. Like maybe when you take away the eating out and eating processed food, it always costs less, but I feel like in our heads it costs more.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because people often assume that eating, you know, healthier is more expensive. Yeah. And I will tell you that there are some cases where it is. I think of people that a lot of times are on assistance. They have certain amount of money every single month, and the cheapest things they can buy are, you know, 33-cent burritos or something like that to put in the freezer.
Yeah.
But that's just I think that one of the things that I think it's a myth, because you can really eat healthy. You just have to think of creative ways to do it. So for instance, you can sign up for a food co-op, and I'm a part of a co-op that I shop at once a month.
Yep.
And getting things in bulk and splitting it between people, you know, shopping online. There's a website called wholeshare.com. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
No.
But wholeshare.com, it's kind of like an online co-op. So you can join groups in your area, and then you can each, you know, go in and let's say there's like a 20-pound bag of rice. You guys can all split it online, and then it gets shipped to you.
Yep.
Or you go pick it up. So there's so many ways to eat healthy on a budget. And I do think, like what you said, like the dental stuff, the cavities. I think for me, one of the things that before I started really eating healthy and eating gluten-free and sugar-free, that I was going to a lot of doctor visits because I have an autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. And part of what I was doing is I was going to doctors a lot because I just felt so cruddy all the time. I felt horrible. So I was paying for health, you know, co-pays and all of that. And now I just go see like a holistic nutritionist that helps me with my diet. But another thing, you know, if you eat the right amount of foods that have more calcium in them and have more vitamins in them, then you don't have to take the more expensive vitamins, you know, if you are eating the foods that you should be eating anyway. So there's a cost analysis, I think, into everything. And when you're talking about food, it plays into so many more things. And, you know, you're not eating out, you're not getting as much fat. And I remember I lost like 10 pounds in that first 6 months when we started going on a budget, just because I was eating better.
Yeah. Interesting.
So
I love that. That's so cool. So let's go. One of the questions I had for you, which sort of dovetails nicely into that, is about wholesale. places. So it's funny you say about the sharing, because one of the things that I do is I feel like in a family of five, there's not much need for sharing too many things, but right. I do order like nuts bulk and I'll order them online. And it always seems like kind of a big bill when it happens, but it's so much cheaper than buying it by the bag, you know, mm-hmm. every time at Trader Joe's, or it happens to be our market here or whatever, wherever we go. So I love that. But, and then I do go to Costco, and love now that they have things like quinoa and whatnot, but you had some thoughts on like what to buy and not buy at some of the, wholesale places. Will you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I tipped in the wholesale places, you want to stick with, there's some things that I really, really like canned tomatoes, yep. Like crushed tomatoes to make our own pasta sauce. I typically buy those, like, you know, quinoa, nuts, rice, pasta, all of that kind of stuff at a food co-op. That's, mm-hmm. It's cheaper, okay. To do it that way. If you go to Costco, like things like bricks of cheese, you want to look at, thankfully they have like such a good organic section now too,
yeah.
if you can afford to do that. Things like butter are good prices, frozen berries, stocking up if you eat a lot of lettuce, like stocking up on those big packs of like organic lettuce. Those are good, good things to buy. Stay away from things like cereal, snack foods. Those you're going to usually spend more money on,
yep.
honestly, at wholesale stores. Meat is always good. I'm trying to think of what else on my list. Condiments like ketchup,
yep.
juice, trash bags,
yep.
rice can be good. Baking supplies is good. Baking soda, sugar, those kind of things. So there's a lot of things to stock up on. But then there's some things to avoid,
yep.
As you know, as well.
And the list, sticking to the list, I think is so helpful at those places. Cause every time I go in, I'm like, oh my God, that book I've always wanted, but like, don't really need, or you know what I mean? Like, I mm-hmm. feel like there's so much like eye candy when you walk into those places with
there
kids
is.
And whatnot.
There is. And you have to be prepared yep. that you're going to be tempted. Like, go past the book section. Don't go near the clothing. Don't go near the kids' toys if you know that that's a distraction for you. And yep. there were years where I didn't have, we currently don't have any kind of club membership, because for me, I think it encourages overspending.
Interesting.
And so, you know, as a recovering spender, I have to set boundaries for myself. And I know if for some reason I do want to go in and shop at like a Costco, there's ways that you can shop there without an actual membership. Mm. If somebody buys you a gift card, like if you have a friend who's mm-hmm. a shopper at Costco, and I like our neighbors, and every time they go, I'm like, can you buy me a $50? If I ask them like, hey, can you buy me a $100 gift card?
Yeah.
If they buy that and give it to me, then I don't have to use a membership to go in and purchase because I have a gift card.
So interesting. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's ways to get around it so that you don't have to be spending the extra money of the membership, but still get the savings. But for us, we're just really careful because we still do have kind of a tight budget every week mm-hmm. that we just really stick to Aldi.
Mm, that's interesting. We don't have yep. that here. We have Stop and Shop.
Okay.
Unfortunately, two blocks away, Whole Foods opened like 6 months ago. That's hard. mm-hmm. I will fully admit. And then we have Trader Joe's here.
So okay.
We don't have those others yet. And it's interesting. And they're all so close to each other. Because we live sort of in the suburbs of Boston, but close enough to Boston that, you know, stuff is still close. And they've actually like made rules of who can have what, mm-hmm. which is interesting because, and then they probably put the prices of other stuff. So you really have to go, you have to be conscious and go to all those markets to really get what you need at the best price. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
so like the gluten-free pasta that I always got and was always went on sale at Whole Foods, Stop and Shop got before Whole Foods moved in, so they mm-hmm. couldn't carry it. But then they have it more expensive there. Mm-hmm. But if you go to the other Whole Foods that's like 4 miles down, it's cheaper. You know, so it's just like you just have to like be conscious, which I don't. You know, it's so easy not to be. It's so easy
yep.
not to be conscious, with, especially if you have like a tired child in the car.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I hear you. And that's like I've always made it. a rule that I don't shop with my kids. That's always been something that I do. I usually grocery shop on Sundays.
Yeah.
So that they're home with daddy and I go by myself. And if they do come with me, they don't have fun because I'm like such a, no, we stick to the list. No, you cannot have that. No, you cannot have that. And it wasn't always that way. You know, when my son was 2.5, 3, he got a lot of little cars in the toy section to keep him busy that I would buy. And that would just totally screw up my grocery budget. So nobody comes with me. Well, nobody gets...
It's funny because you are the third, you're talking the most about budget than anyone, but you're the third sort of person who's been in the finance world, who's been on the podcast, and every single one of you has said that they don't bring mm-hmm. their kids to the grocery. So that's so intriguing to me that like all three like very financially savvy people have mentioned that. And, you know, I always say it from the perspective of, I think it's actually a great break for any mom
mm-hmm.
just to like know that they're getting out of the house and, you know, have that time to breathe and like concentrate and do whatever.
Right.
But it's fascinating to me that it also probably does help with budget.
Yeah, it really does. And if one of my kids wants to come, I have to sit and talk with them like, okay, you know that mommy has a list and, you know, we're only going to be doing this. And my 7-year-old daughter, she's probably the only one that I would bring with me because she's very, like if I give her a list and a clipboard
yeah.
and tell her to organize something, she's in heaven. So like,
yeah.
she would come with me behind me with a clipboard and like check everything off and have the best time of her life. Like that's yeah. just the child that she is.
It's a fun learning experience. I know we have a lot of homeschool listeners. And so I'm sure they're like, yeah, I'm not going to the grocery store by myself. But right. I mean, I think it can be a good learning experience. It just needs like, it needs to be in a container with clear boundaries.
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Boundaries are good. And so to have those boundaries, even before you go, you know, if you have to bring your kids with you, just, you know, let them know that this is what's going to happen. And, yeah. And you know, they can't pick out the cereal because then yeah. everybody picks out like the one full of food dye and that's not going to happen.
Well, and the cereal is such a good, so in our house, the thing that I did do is that I gave up cereal. So we only do oatmeal or granola. And I make the granola because that way it's less expensive when I can. And if not, like I found the two brands that are gluten-free and whatever, and my daughter can eat. But that aisle is still hard to go to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I don't even know that they know what all the things are, but like, that's like the worst aisle. Like
it is.
Like you can't bring a child into that aisle.
Well, I think it's because that's the aisle that they market to kids the most. I mean,
yeah.
they have these fun, you know, birds and
prizes,
you know,
and, yeah.
prizes inside and everything. I think it's because they make it the cheapest
yeah.
too. So it's the biggest profit value for the company that made it.
Yeah, I love that. So we're coming to the end of our time. So tell us how people can best find you online and, you know, what the best way to interact and get your material is.
Yeah, so I haven't my third book coming out, The Recovering Spender, and that comes out September 13th.
Ooh.
But people can pre-order it right now, and if they pre-order it, they get $75 in freebies and a free mini meal plan, which has 10 meals that you can make for $80. They get that for free.
Cool.
And then they can find me at iamthatlady.com. But actually, it might be changed by the time this podcast comes out because we are changing our website URL to laurengrootman.com.
Okay.
So we have a new website design going up today. It's actually supposed to go up, but I don't know if it'll happen maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, so this is going out after we're recording, so definitely. So we'll put that in the show notes, laurengrootman.com.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Yep, laurengrootman.com. That's GREUTMAN. Yep. I also have a podcast called The Enjoying Life on a Budget Podcast where we talk all about money and, you know, marriage and the intersection of life in between all of that. And then I'm all over social media. I have a YouTube channel. I have my website. I have a book called How to Coupon Effectively that you can find on Amazon. So there's lots of different ways that people can reach out and kind of see what we do.
Cool. That's exciting. And I'll link all those up in the description so people can click on them. And then we have one final question. Are you ready that we ask everyone?
I'm ready. Bring it on.
And that is, will you tell us about one meal, whether it literally could have happened yesterday or 7 years ago, that really had an impact on you, either from the food that was served or the company you were with or some aha you had at the table? Just give us a little peek into what that might be.
Oh, I love that question. So the meal that came to mind is chicken piccata. When Mark and I were first dating, we made that meal together as our first meal that we cooked together. And I, it just brings such special memories to me because I just remember, you know, we were just starting dating and, you know, everything that comes when you first start out in a relationship. So it always gives me little butterflies when I think about that meal.
I love that. And so do you share that in your family now?
We do. We cook it quite often and it's always a special. We actually have our, the recipe that we use is up on the website.
Oh, cool.
So people can go and search for it. But that, yeah, that's always a special meal. And we always talk about it whenever we serve it to the kids.
I love that.
It's a special meal for us.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And thank you for this time that you've given us today. It's been enlightening.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. So everyone, I will see you on the next episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. Bye for now. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.